So go to Matthew 8:17. We're talking about possessing what belongs to us. And our topic, of course, is healing, possessing what is ours. Matthew 8:17. I believe I've got this. Matthew 8:17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias or Isaiah. There's a book called Isaiah, and that's the book the Apostle Matthew is quoting the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah said, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Bible says he took, everybody say took. Took our infirmities, and then it says that bear our sicknesses. In the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote to, and he prayed for the church at Ephesus, that their eyes of understanding, or their eyes of their spirit be enlightened. He prayed that they would see clearly what God had given them, what their inheritance is. And one of your inheritance, of course, is health and healing. That is why it says in here, that's why he prayed that prayer so that they could see what belongs to them. That's found in the book of Ephesians. It says in there that their eyes of understanding of verse 16 would be enlightened or be flooded with light, flooded with illumination, flooded with understanding concerning whatever it is we need. And so tonight we're focusing on our health and healing. And so I believe this is a good topic because today, lately, I've just been wanting to talk about and touch on healing again because, people need to hear about it again. And so I want to say no matter how sick you may be, no matter how sick you are right now or how bad you feel or how bad you look, healing belongs to you, and healing is already an accomplished fact according to Scripture. You might not have it right now. You might be sick right now. You might be, something. I'm not talking about COVID, but I'm talking about other ailments. You might have diabetes. You might have a heart condition. You might have a bum leg. Sore back, sore neck. You might have different things, different ailments in your body. But we're going to see according to Scripture, not because of what I said, but according to Scripture. Everybody say, according to Scripture. That God has already healed you. God already made available to you healing. So I want to give you a couple of lines of thinking here that I wrote down. I was talking to the Lord today about, what I should share in these brief few minutes with you. And I felt that He was saying some things. And first, we need to say, let me just tell you, first of all, there's healing, and then there's a miracle of healing. So there's two different things, and then a lot of people don't understand sometimes. And if you have something wrong with you that medicine can't heal you, if you have an ailment where the doctor says you'll have this for the rest of your life, and there's no medicine for it. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, there's some sicknesses that can never be healed by medical science. So you're going to need more than healing. But Jesus said all things are possible. And we've seen that in the Bible. In fact, there's people who have had things wrong with them that they can still do things in spite of the lack they had. Like maybe somebody couldn't see out of one eye, or they couldn't see out of one eye, I guess. They have two eyes. But in fact, if you covered the good eye and looked out of the bad eye that actually had a glass in it, they could actually read. There's been those kinds of recordings. So that's what we call a continuous miracle. Some people the doctor said you can't use a certain part of your body, your arm or something like that, and the doctor said You can't use it, and people are able to use their arm because a miracle took place. They're not supposed to use the arm because it's no good. The doctor said it's no good, and so they're using the arm. So that's a miracle. There's some people who should have died. They could have died, and they're alive today because of it. So I want to show you something here, just give you a kind of a definition. So just a simple definition of healing. A simple definition of physical healing. I should have actually wrote that and put it on the screens. A simple definition of healing is a restoration of the human body from a disease condition. A restoration of the human body from a disease condition. That is the Bible says restoring, like your body is made to restore itself. Like, you know, medicines are help your body to restore itself. And so there are some things that you can't drink a potion of something if you got one leg. There's no medicine that'll give you a second leg. Right? There's no such thing. But if I've heard, I mean, I've read healing revivals that people have, all of a sudden, they've had different things happen in their bodies. People who had really terrible, bad hearts have been given good hearts. It's like they're brand new. Like, or the heart was no good. Now they have a good heart and have a new heart. The Bible says, or at least the doctor said, you have a heart of a 18-year-old kid. So those are miracles. And so we see people who were supposed to die with cancer, but now they're healed. They should have died, but they're healed. That's you know, God healing them. There's people who had one lung, now they got two lungs. That's not normal. And they got two lungs. I mean, there's things that happen like that. So people are at the brink of really bad situations. So let's talk about a miracle, or give a definition of miracle. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God in which He suspends or supersedes the ordinary course of nature. Like it's just beyond normal. Beyond normal. And so, let me just say that again. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God in which He suspends or supersedes the ordinary course of nature. Healing miracles include physical restoration from birth defects, blindness, missing body parts, limbs, and so on. These are miracles. Jesus said in Mark 9:23 that anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible. Nobody's going to tell you that outside of this church or outside, in Walmart. They're going to tell you that regarding if you have a problem. But we say it on the basis of Scripture because Jesus said it. You know, we talked about faith yesterday in our Bible college program. We talked about faith. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance in the original language is grounds. Faith is the ground you stand on, or the grounds, or the foundation of which you stand on for something that you hope for in the future. You know, we have to, you need hope. If anything else, get some hope first. See that something is possible first. Some people say, well, you're just getting my hopes up. Well, I want to get your hope up. The word hope in the Bible is not like you know, well, maybe. That's not Bible hope. Bible hope is a confident expectation. That's what Bible hope is. Abraham believed when there was no hope, it says in Romans 4. Abraham believed God when there was no hope in the fact that Abraham could not produce a child. He was 100 years old. His wife was, I don't know, 90 years old? Who said yeah? The Lord's talking to me. The Lord is talking to me. Okay, so a 90-year-old woman is not going to produce a child. All her parts are beyond, you know, you can't do that. But God told the man that this, you know, you're going to have a child. I ever told you a story about a woman that in my service at the Prince Arthur Hotel, you remember that? This woman was 80-something years old. And I was prophesying. I said, there's somebody in here that God wants to, I can't remember what I said, but God wants to heal you right now. You know? Oh, I know what it was. I said, there's a woman in here that God wants to restore and that you will have a child. The Lord's going to wants to give you a child. And the woman misunderstood. She couldn't hear. She comes up right down the aisle. She's 90 years old, 80 years old. Comes up before me. I said, oh, my Lord, what's going on? She wants to have a child 80 years old. Yeah? True story. What happened to her? Well, she had a baby. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, no, she never had a baby, but everybody was aghast at everyone. When you get a crowd going like this, we're all aghast. They're thinking, what's Pastor going to do now? So, I mean, I was wonderfully prophesying. I mean, I thought, wow, this is wonderful. Things like that do happen. But anyway, this was a mistake, of course. And I don't think she wanted to have a baby. So, when it comes to healing, there's two streams of thought when it comes to healing. One is, the Bible talks about that Jesus went around healing the sick, and Jesus ministered healing on two streams. One is by faith, and the second was by the anointing of God. And so he healed on the basis of his preaching, and those that believe what he said, according to, you know, Luke 4:18, I have an anointing to heal the sick, and those that believe that came to Jesus, and they were healed. They touched Jesus, they came near to him, and so on and so forth. And there's times where Jesus healed the sick where he never even did anything. It was like, it wasn't their faith at all. It was like a miracle that happened. It wasn't the person's actual faith. It was a gift given to them at that particular time where they can actually receive a miracle, and Jesus was able to perform a miracle. That's a work of God. You cannot produce that on your own. That's under the under what they call, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. We call them gifts of the Spirit, but under what I understand is they're all manifestations of the Spirit. There are nine manifestations of the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. There is nine ways in which Holy Spirit will minister or manifest himself among us through someone. God will manifest himself through a person. This is called the gifts of the Spirit. And all those gifts don't work single-handedly by themselves. They work in conjunction with each other. You'll never find a gift of healing happening outside of the word of knowledge or working, miracles. They all work together. When Jesus restored a man who was dead, like Lazarus was raised from the dead. The man's dead. That's a working of miracle. That's what they call an operation of the Spirit. That's called in 1 Corinthians the operation. There's operation of the Spirit, and there's administrations, and then there's gifts. There's four gifts of the Spirit we call gifts. Speaking in tongues is a gift that we receive. We can speak in tongues anytime we want. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come on you to speak in tongues. No, you can speak in tongues anytime you want to. You can prophesy anytime you want to. The simple gift of prophecy, you can prophesy anytime you want to. It's a gift you can exercise. Every one of you can do it. Everybody in here can do that. You can all speak in tongues. And you all can prophesy. That's good. But you can't operate a miracle anytime you want to. That's an operation of the Spirit. So we have to understand all these things, and we can't just produce these ourselves. And this is going to happen. These operations, can happen only as the Spirit wills. Whatever He wants. And so when Jesus raised the dead, that was an operation of the miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of faith, all at the same time. If Jesus just raised him from the dead, he'd have to have the working of miracles to do that, and the gift of faith, and also gifts of healing. The healing had to happen as well. In fact, we can actually exercise healing too. Because it's a gift. God gave us healing. We can exercise healing. Now, healing, the healing ministry has always been a controversial, area in the church. Because not all churches agree on the same thing. But we need to agree on the Bible. And the reason it's not seen enough is because people don't talk about it enough. But the basis of Isaiah 53 is the basis of our healing and our salvation. In the same breath, Isaiah 53 talks about healing and salvation at the same time. That's why Jesus, when he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven, rise up." And the man rose up. The same time Jesus purchased our salvation, our new birth, is the same time he purchased our healing. According to Isaiah 53, when you begin to study it. And so a lot of times it's not preached, and you talk about it, people just say, well, I don't believe that. Well, anytime you don't believe something, you're not going to have anything. Unless God does something out of the ordinary and does something, and he doesn't usually do that. It's kind of special. He moves in a special way. So there's two streams of healing that Jesus did. One is he operated by faith. In other words, he taught about healing. The Bible says, Matthew 9 and 35, he went about teaching. And the teaching ministry is a higher level than working of miracles. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. Because you need to have the word to teach people. This is very interesting, isn't it? I think about this, this is something I've studied all my life as a Christian, as I studied healing all my life. Because my mom was sick, and everybody I knew was sick all their lives. So I began to study on healing, and the Lord dropped healing, the healing anointing on me to make it study. Then I began to minister healing. And I've seen people jump out of a place when they had racked up with cancer with so much pain in their body. I've seen people jump up out of their thing and start running, walking around without any pain. Somebody say, "I wish I could do that." Well, don't come by wishing. Comes by the word. And, the thing about it too, I've ministered under what they call a tangible anointing. That is, for a period of time, the anointing came on me to minister healing in a tangible way. You can actually feel that power. You can feel that power. You could feel the waves of it. I could just feel the waves of it. I'd raise my hand like this, and 4, 5, 25 people fall on in the power of God. My ushers couldn't get near me. When that anointing came upon me, I don't minister like that anymore. I don't have to. I'm a pastor. The Lord told me to change my operation of ministry. So I begin to change. I begin to say, he said, I want you to teach the people. Because people begin to operate, begin to really pull on me. I was just getting so tired. They were just expecting me to do it all the time. And you know what? When you ever notice that when people depend on you, they're always pulling at you? Well, that's the same tired feeling I was getting, people just expecting me to do something. And, we need to expect God to do something. And I thank God he told me to get out of that, so I got out of it. I'm so happy. Because it's tiring. And so we get to operate in the area of faith. And we got learned by Brother Hagin. He said, you can get the same effect by faith than you do with a tangible anointing. So I changed right away. So I want to go into this area here. So there's two streams of healing. One is that Jesus, the Bible said, he went about, teaching and getting people healed. And then there is something else called the anointing, where he ministered to people by the gifts of the Spirit. Where he came upon people who were sick, and he knew people were sick in a certain way. Then he began to speak, faith to them, and they were able to get healed. The woman, the man at the with the issue of blood, or that man with the issue of blood, the man at the, what is that, the pool of Bethesda? Well, he never taught him anything. He came up to him and he said, do you want to be made well? The man says, I got no man to help me to get up, and so on, because everybody said at that time, anybody that steps into the pool was made well of whatever disease he had. So Jesus never taught him anything. They were not in a teaching time. Jesus walked up to them, and the Bible says that Jesus knew he was in that case for a long time. And he said, do you want to be made well? Usually when the gift of faith and miracles are operating, you know exactly what's going to happen next, because you have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is something you know, you kind of know the future about a certain situation. So you say something and you ask something because you know what's going to happen next. A miracle is going to take place. And that doesn't always happen like that. I wish I could do that myself. I mean, we'd have a great time here, right? Okay. I like when the gifts are, happening. I like those gifts. You have a great time with them. So he ministered the anointing, under the anointing, or with the gifts of the Spirit. And so what happens in Pentecostal circles or Pentecostal places, most people want to be healed with the anointing, by the anointing. They don't want to be healed by faith, because there's some work to be done. You got to study. You got to sit under teaching. And you got to make a confession of faith, and you got to do some fighting with yourself to receive your healing. And that's, you got healed through the faith. This lady was dying. I mean, you were really sick. And there's nothing else. And so it was by faith she received her healing. The Bible says that according to your faith, Jesus, according to your faith. And all the healings that Jesus performed, as far as I'm talking about the 19 cases of healing in the four Gospels. There's 19 cases, case studies that are given to us by God, by the Holy Spirit, wrote them up for us. And anybody understands, if you want to know about the anointing, follow what Jesus did. Because he's the ultimate anointed one. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Yeah. And if we're going to learn about anointing, we're going to have to look at him and study how it works. Yeah. First of all, if you're anointed, you got to know it yourself, and you got to tell people. Otherwise, how is everybody going to be reaching out to you and believing if they don't know you are anointed? The Bible said in his hometown, they rejected him, didn't believe it. And there was no healings there. There was no miracle. Not even one miracle in his hometown. Because they rejected him. They refused to. It's hard to go back home. You're just a boy down the street. Unless you're old like me, people kind of like you a little bit after that. You know, but if you're young, like this guy here, go home to his family and said, you know what? Healing the veil, they'll laugh at you. Right? But if you're old, like Moses, and you got starry eyes, and you have a cane, and it could turn into a snake, people start believing you. Okay, okay. Don't turn that snake again or into a pool. But anyways, forget I said that. There's two streams. What is it? Faith. The second one was what? The anointing or the gifts of the Spirit. There are also methods of healing. Methods. Everybody say methods. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's methods of healing. In other words, there's not just one way to be healed. God has given us several ways to be healed. And the best way to be healed, of course, is knowing for yourself about Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 8, 17. Know that for yourself by faith. Well, here a method of healing would be the laying on of hands. Jesus predominantly used the laying on of hands in his ministry. He laid hands on people. Why is laying on of hands predominant? Because you can feel the hand because it's a point of contact. When you lay hands on someone, that is a point of contact when they said, I'm receiving healing right now. I'm feeling the power right now. He laid his hands on me. That is a point of contact. That's why laying on of hands is so predominant. Because it is a point of contact. You know the day, the hour, the minute that Jesus laid hands on you or somebody laid hands on you. At that point, you say, that's when I receive my healing. So that's a method of healing. And we practice that, and we can't practice that tonight because the law wouldn't allow us to do it tonight. But I can spit on people. No, I'm just kidding. No. Jesus, the Bible said Jesus spit on people. There's a few people like to spit on tonight. No. I mean, wouldn't you know, if you were racked up with sickness and disease, and if I could spit on you and you'd be healed, you'd say, spit on me, spit on me. The Bible says, or at least not the Bible, history says, Wigglesworth would punch people. And Brother Hagin, I listened to his story about it. He said there's times that I punch people. A lady with a big stomach like this, she had cancer in there, and the Lord said, punch her, hit her, hit her. And he hit her, whack. You could hear that, poof. And suddenly that thing went right down, and she was skinny as a normal person. And the thing was, gone. So there's, unusual ways to minister healing like that. I mean, if God says to do it, then go ahead. He said, I slap people sometimes, whack, right on the head or on the side of the head, and they couldn't hear. And all of a sudden they got whack and heard that pop, and all of a sudden they could hear. Jesus spit on a blind man's eyes. I mean, there's unusual ways to minister healing. But the first method of healing, of course, we understand is laying on of hands. And then, some people minister with anointing with oil. The Bible says in Mark, I believe chapter 6, that the disciples went around anointing with oil and healing the sick and casting out devil. Well, oil is not, you say, what kind of oil was it? Well, just oil. Olive oil. It's winter time. We use thinner oil for our car and stuff. So you could anoint somebody with oil. The Bible said, I think Matthew 5 or John or excuse me, James 5 and 16 talks about anointing with oil. You can anoint with oil and people get healed. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. So they, you know, we have faith in that and believe God, and that's what we do. We lay on, we do that. So just different methods of healing. There's a prayer of agreement. If you don't have strong faith enough, ask somebody to agree with you and help your faith to believe in healing. You can use the name of Jesus yourself, on yourself. Apply the name of Jesus to yourself. And just call on the name of Jesus for a healing. Glory to God. We can receive. So just different methods of healing. That, not just one way. You know, we all once in a while need prayer of agreement. And we agree together. And sometimes my wife and I will agree together. And listen to this, you know. Let me just tell everybody this so that you understand this. You don't ever have to pray to be healed. You don't have to pray to be healed. I said, you don't have to pray to be healed. People think that prayer is the only way you can be healed. Prayer is like this, like talking to God like this, right? Or talk to God. You and God. I mean, you can get healed that way if you have faith in God. And believe that God can heal you. But, you know, you don't have to pray about healing. If we understand Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, you don't have to pray. You don't have to come to church to be healed. You can be healed anywhere. Simply by believing that healing is an accomplished fact. According to Isaiah 53, that himself, he took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses, diseases. By his stripes you're healed. You know, we have to believe that and say, you know, just say, oh, is that true? Yeah, okay. Thank God. Father, I want to thank you for my healing right now. Thank you. That's how you do it. Or just say, according to the word of God, I'm healed. I want to thank God right now, everybody. I want to thank God right now. I have this condition in my body. I want to let everybody know that according to the word of God, I'm healed. And yet you still have all the symptoms in your body, and you're still taking the medicine. You just say, thank God. I didn't say according to the pills. I didn't say according to the cane. I didn't say according to what the medical doctor said. I don't care what the MRI said. People say this to me, pray that I'll have a good report from the doctor tomorrow. Well, your faith is not in prayer or God. Your faith is in the good report. You know, what do you want me to do? Am I a magician? Change the report? The doctor already probably made the report. You mean to go forging that MRI? Right? No, I mean, we have to understand this, that it doesn't matter if they say you are this gone, far gone. It doesn't matter if we say that. I mean, you have to go through what the scripture says and believe on that. If you don't, it's no use for you to take the medicine or try to get healed. People say, well, I don't believe in that healing business. Well, stop taking your medication then. Because it's against the will of God for you to be well. Just go ahead and die. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's just straight out if you want to hear it that way. So God provided ways for us to receive. How can you see this is going way over big here? What time is it? Oh, yeah, I see why. I see why. It's 3 minutes after 8. They took all my time messing around and took my time to teach. My wife had to talk about COVID-19 to tell everybody. Spend 15 minutes on it. And then this guy comes around, spend 10 minutes on offering. Well, you guys don't need to know about offering all the time, do you? You already have faith in giving, right? So, I mean, once in a while, you need some teaching once in a while. Thank God for it. I want to thank God for it. I mean, he knows about giving and receiving. And I caught him here. I came here in the afternoon. We come in here in the afternoon. We spend most of our afternoon here when nobody's here because nobody knows we're here. Because you can do some things, you know. We come in here at the back, and the lights are all on. Nobody's here. Just a little car in the back. Who's here? I hear, noises downstairs. I said, hey, Pastor Dave, are you here? Nobody answers. I said, what if he died downstairs? Had a heart attack or something done. I got to better check him out. I went in every room. Where is he? Well, that's negative thinking. But my mind works that way sometimes. Hey, where are you going? Okay, so I see him. Anyway, I went down and I found him down there. And he's just sweating away. He's rearranging the whole basement. He said, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm sowing seed because I need a job. I got to get a job. So he's sowing seed, his labor, because he's going to get another job. Amen. So he knows what he's doing. So anyway, we'll have to come back another time and talk about Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 on another occasion. But I don't know if it's going to be the same level of anointing, because this level of anointing is really high here. Very high. You know, let me tell you something about the anointing. You know, the anointing in a service like this can be high, or could be medium, or could be low, or could be very nothing at all. It doesn't just depend on one person. It depends on people here who are interested in it. You know? Or if you keep doing this. And that stops the anointing right away. When we were in Rhema, they would tell us, you know, please don't, you know, if you're going to look at your watch, you don't want to run. When Brother Hick is teaching that if that thing rings, just listen to him. Let the prophet speak, because something's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. And he understands about time. And so anyway, I understand about the anointing. The anointing on my life, in any time I minister, lots of times depends on me, because it depends on if I'm studying and reading and focusing on the things of God rather than on things of the world. I can spend all my time just, whatever, let's work over here, let's do this. I can still study at the same time, but you could diminish the anointing on your life if you just spend all your time in the world. Just think about the world. And you can increase that anointing. So it depends on the minister sometimes, but not always. Because Jesus went to his own hometown and there was no miracles, no anointing, nothing. They hindered Jesus. So a lot of times when you hear, like I could be preaching on something, the end times, and if you need healing, you just go ahead and believe God that something's going to happen for you. God will do one thing, change everything around and minister right to you. So there is an anointing, and we have to understand about the two streams of healing. Okay, let's stand up. I'm being blocked here. Okay, I understand. We got kids got to go to school, and moms have to go to sleep, get up at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm kidding. Are they getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning? It's a long day for moms and dads. People got a long day tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the healing, miracles, and signs and wonders, the teaching, anointing that brings healing to people's bodies. We want to thank you tonight, Lord God, and we're believing right now that different ones in this place, that their body will be restored because they need healing simply by believing your word. We're also believing and pulling for a move of the Spirit in a special way. The Holy Ghost to manifest himself in a fashion beyond our own level of faith that he'd come in. So we're asking him to come whenever we're teaching here about healing, that he would come and minister. And we thank you that every person in here has enough faith to believe for their own restoration in their body. And if they need any healing extra levels, we're going to believe in a corporate way, because you said if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of them by my Father which is in heaven. So we're agreeing with every person in here right now that needs healing in their body, and those that are watching on television. Every person. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We want to thank you for that healing anointing. Everybody say, I'm healed. According to the word of God, because God said it, I believe it. I receive it. I'm expecting great results. Say, ha ha, Mr. Devil. You cannot kill me. You cannot make me sick. My body belongs to Jesus. He purchased it. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.